getting started this morning, breaking of yokes, breaking of yokes. And it's coming from the 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, the 5th through the 9th verse, the breaking of yokes. And a yoke is something that is placed on an animal to control that animal, to control the way in which he would go or whatever. But also a yoke is something that, from Scripture, it seems to be the bondage to this world, to the bondage to the things of this world, bondage to the people of this world, bondage to the ways of this world, bondage to the world itself, bondage to the cosmos. We will look at some that was able to break away the yoke, that allowed the yoke to be broken away, and how that yoke was broken according to our scripture reading, Isaiah 10 and 27, that it is the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. But there are some that this anointing didn't fall on, it didn't have this spirit, and the yokes wasn't broken in their lives. We want the yokes to be broken in our lives. And as we read about Hezekiah this morning, and we had a Passover. We had a Passover in which God allowed all of the people to freely eat of the Passover. And a lot of them were unclean and wasn't in a situation to eat of the Passover. But freely have the word of God been given to us in this day. And he allowed all of us to partake of that same word. Just like all of the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. All were baptized under Moses. All were baptized and passed through. And they all ate of that same spiritual bread, that rock, the water of the Spirit that was from Christ. But in a lot of them there were doubt, there were unbelief, and there were hardness of heart. Let not nothing happen to us today and be rejected from the blessings and promises that God has, that's inherited for us in him. That's an inheritance undefiled that Satan doesn't get in the way. Sometimes Satan comes as different people in your life, different things in your life, different obstacles in which we have to overcome. We have to realize that this is a battle, and the battle necessarily starts at home sometimes. The battle starts at home. So the regeneration was that these people all partook, most of them partook of the covenant that Hezekiah was making, because Hezekiah told them, we've transgressed the covenant of God through our fathers. Through our fathers we have done wrong and transgressed the laws of God. And as the church today, all of them partook of the Passover. Now, when I say all, I mean all that wanted to profess God, profess following God. And they're the same thing in the church today. They're a lot profess to follow God, but they're not ready to meet up with the criterion for following God. To follow God, we have to pull everything off. Every weight and sin that's beset us from running this race. Anything that's a hindrance to your spiritual life from being like Christ, that has to be laid aside. That's a cross you have to bear. So you need to crucify self. You need to mortify yourself, sanctify yourself. Let yourself be set apart for God, unto God. Let nothing separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. That love that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which will enable you to love those that's unlovable, which will enable you to love your enemy, which would enable you, as he did at the cross, he prayed for those that nailed him to the cross and says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we begin to walk in the Spirit, God begins to regenerate us. He begins to make us anew and afresh. And that's through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. So we see verse 5 through 7 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave as a man and a woman leave father and mother and cleave to each other. He clave unto the Lord. He clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him. but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. This strength, this spirit that was upon him made him feel good. It made him be able to overcome or try to overcome the obstacles in his life. But obstacles are not very easy to overcome sometimes. Obstacles, sometimes it takes years to break those obstacles. We can see where Hezekiah fell a couple of times once trying to break this obstacle. It came 14 years later. It came when he rebelled against this Assyrian king. Not exactly this king, but another king came to power and says, "You like rebelling, huh? Let me see, can you stand up against me?" And he came up against Hezekiah, and Hezekiah folded. And that was because no strong people was around Hezekiah to exhort him. And Hezekiah didn't take advice of the godly people around him. Because Isaiah was around him. Amos was around him. Hosea was around him. There were many prophets and people of God, but he was trying to fight this in his own strength. He was raised by his father Ahaz, but it says his mother had taught him. So he knew the truth. He knew spiritual things. But this was the pride of his father coming out. And pride is a horrible thing. Pride will cause us to lose our lives. Pride will cause us to lose all that God has for us. And we'll see later on, and not today, that pride is what caused Hezekiah's son to be cursed. That pride is what caused him to lose everything he had. And at this time, we have to realize that we have to meditate on his word to be strong and courageous. Now, that's a mouthful of words, because sometimes you can't find a way to be strong and courageous because it goes against your nature. It rubs against the way you've lived life. It rubs against the way you've been taking care of yourself. It rubs against how you stand, and that, you know, I'm going to stand like this. But we have to have childlike faith as Hezekiah had. Hezekiah had childlike faith, like Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you can't inherit the kingdom of. In other words, you got to be totally dependent upon God's word and trust in God's word to be able to bring you through, and not upon your own actions, your own words, your own way of handling things. You can't handle this. When you're trying to handle it, it's not going to go right for you. It's going to go awry. It's going to cause setbacks for you. It's going to cause setbacks in your life. And to meditate on his word, because Satan as a roaring lion was sitting there waiting for him to make a mistake. Satan is sitting there waiting for you to make a mistake, and he's going to wait through the, it says the foes going to be those of your own household. He's going to wait and try to get through to you, to somebody very close to you, to something very dear to you, some thing, a person, or whatever it is. Satan is sitting back watching, trying to determine, how can I get to his vulnerability? How can I shake him on this? What can I do to devour him? Jeremiah 2:19, it says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thine backsliding shall reprove thee." In other words, you will see and you will know that it's in yourself that what you're doing is wrong. Your hearts will condemn you. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He allows the heart to convict you. You still have a conscience, and you know you've wronged God. You know what you're doing is not right. So that's what's going to reprove you, he says. "Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing."